Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Hey, it's a Wednesday, and that means we always take a look on Wednesdays at the outdoors, the great outdoors, our wildlife and our natural resources. And today we're talking about the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. That's to begin the show. It's a bill that would give billions of dollars to conservation efforts across the U.S. And we're joined by Mike Leahy. He is Director of Wildlife Hunting and Fishing Policy at the National Wildlife Federation. Mike's going to break down what the bill would mean for us here in Wisconsin. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. How do you think Wisconsin's wildlife should be protected? What are your ideas to restore struggling species, perhaps? I want to hear from you on what you think. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Mike Leahy, welcome. Great to have you with us. How are things at the National Wildlife Federation?
They're terrific. Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, things are going really well at National Wildlife Federation.
I bet they are. But you know what? Just before we talk about that act, talk a little about the National Wildlife Federation and what you folks do.
Oh, you bet. I'll start by mentioning Ranger Rick, the raccoon ranger. That's how a lot of people know us, is Ranger Rick cartoon developed in the 60s, I think. And his friends now, Scarlet Fox and Boomer Badger, if you have kids, you might know them. But educational tool to reach young people and engage them in conservation. National Wildlife Federation was founded in 1936. And the idea was you get all the conservationists together, people who care about wildlife, hunters, anglers, foresters, gardeners, bird watchers, everybody, a whole bunch of them, a couple thousand, came together in the mid-1930s and at the first North American Wildlife Conference, Wildlife and Natural Resources Conference. And one of the outgrowths of that was this federation that now has well over 6 million members and supporters. And we have an affiliate, a primary partner in each state and territory. In Wisconsin, it's the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. So we work at the national level. We work at the state level and local level. Anything related to wildlife and conservation, including climate change, clean water, conservation on private lands, conservation on public lands. We do a lot of outreach and education to youth and different communities around the country. As far as membership, we're basically the country's largest wildlife conservation group.
Yeah, I've often talked with folks from the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. It's a great bunch of people. You know, and here we've got this Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And let's maybe talk about the major goals of that act. What would it accomplish if passed?
It would be a total game changer for wildlife conservation. So it plugs one of the major gaps we have still in wildlife conservation, which is addressing the decline of species before they become endangered or threatened, and addressing the full breadth of wildlife species and putting resources into that. So we have done a good job providing funding for species that are hunted and fished primarily, and recovering a lot of those species, you know, deer, turkey, elk populations. A lot of fish were really depleted in the early 1900s, and we have restored and recovered a lot of those populations, and that's because we had this funding mechanism that mostly comes from hunters and anglers and boaters who pay a tax on hunting and fishing gear and boat fuel, and that tax goes back into conservation and into outdoor recreation and access. But what we have lacked is funding for wildlife that are not primarily hunted and fished. So a lot of that funding that hunters and anglers generate goes into conserving these other species that they don't hunt or fish, but not enough. And so this bill, which is basically 50 years in the making, there's been a long history here trying to generate this funding, would finally plug that gap and get the states, get the territories, get the tribes the money that they need to manage and maintain and restore all these wildlife species around the country. And I'll keep going, jump in here if I'm going on too long.
I was, as you were talking, I was saying you mentioned a preventive approach, and I think that's, I mean, I think it's a good idea, but maybe talk about why that's been the hole or and why it's so needed.
It is so needed because it addresses problems early on. And the longer you wait, the worse trouble species get in, the more expensive and costly it is to recover them. And it can be more regulatory, too, as more laws and tools kick in. So it's much easier and better for the species, for the wildlife, as well as for people to address these problems early on. Another area we have done pretty well is with endangered species. And we have the Endangered Species Act at the federal level, and there are a number of state Endangered Species Acts. And the premise there is to not let any species go extinct, even though we have seen some go extinct. But it's done a pretty good job of, a really good job of keeping most species around. But there is a backlog of species that are declining and headed towards the endangered species list if we don't do something. And I don't really know why, this gap has existed for so long, but we finally have this huge amount of momentum and widespread support to plug it.
You know, that Endangered Species Act, which I think was passed in 73, it really was very effective. I saw a figure somewhere. They had a stellar success rate. Something like 99% of the species listed on it have avoided extinction.
That's right. Really stellar success rate. The problem is that a lot of those species are kind of stuck in the status quo. So
yeah,
there are more and more species that are recovering and able to be delisted, returned to state management. But there's not enough of that recovery happening. And the Recovering America's Wildlife Act actually puts money into recovering species that are already endangered and threatened as well. At least 15% of the funding of the bill will be dedicated to helping recover species and get them off the endangered and threatened lists. And then there's a bunch of money in there for federal programs to implement recovery plans to get these species off the list, as well as programs mostly on private lands, helping private landowners, farmers, ranchers, forest landowners to invest money in conservation efforts to help recover endangered and threatened species as well.
And my read on this is that unlike so many bills that are put forth, this one has gained bipartisan support.
Tremendous bipartisan support. We had over 40 Republican co-sponsors in the House out of, I think we got to about 180 co-sponsors there. In the Senate, the bill has is pretty even as far as Republicans and Democrats with their support. There's a few more Democrats, but it's led by a Republican and a Democrat as the primary sponsors. And this is pretty rare, particularly in this day and age, as you may imagine, to have this broad support across the political spectrum. Everybody saying, all right, this is a problem. You know, we have this wildlife crisis that we can go into a little more, but, we have a problem, and this is a good solution to invest in states, in territories, in the tribes, which we also need to talk about, funding for the tribes, and then into recovering species that are already endangered and threatening, getting them off the list.
And so the bill, the money from the bill is going to be sent to the states, and I understand Wisconsin's going to receive about $18 million annually in federal funds. Who's responsible for planning how a state like Wisconsin's going to spend the money?
So as part of this roughly 50-year effort to get states and other entities the funding they need, the states were asked by Congress to create state wildlife action plans around the year 2000. And then some funding has been provided for that every year since, but it's been roughly $50 to $65 million spread across all the states. But the states really leaned into this approach and this idea of creating this comprehensive state wildlife action plan to address all the species and conservation need throughout the state, as well as the habitat needs and the land area. So if you're, you know, if any of your listeners are interested, they can Google or search for the Wisconsin State Wildlife Action Plan and look through it. And it's really impressive and comprehensive. And, you know, these have evolved since the year 2000, but the states have leaned into this area and said, yes, we want to embrace this broader mission that we have. It was never intended to be just primarily species that are hunted and fished. And, you know, we want to represent the public's interest in all of the wildlife in the state, but we need funding. And so the $50 to $65 million that have been spent are less than 5% of what the states need to implement these state wildlife action plans. So they provide the blueprint and the projects for doing all of this restoration.
Mike Leahy is our guest today. He's the Director of Wildlife Hunting and Fishing Policy at the National Wildlife Federation. We're talking with him about the Recovering America's Wildlife Act and how it would and could affect Wisconsin and the rest of the country. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. How should wildlife here in our state be protected? What actions do you think the government should make to protect the environment? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. Clara Neipert is our producer today. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. It's a bill in front of Congress, and it would dedicate almost $1.4 billion annually toward proactive voluntary conservation efforts. Talking about it with Mike Leahy, Director of Wildlife Hunting and Fishing Policy at the National Wildlife Federation. Looking forward to hearing from you. Questions or comments, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Jeff in Superior, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. I'm not usually cynical about things that come through our government, but often I hear that a lot of these this extra money or whatever goes to administrative expenses or salaries or bonuses and things like that. I mean, a project like this should have every dollar spent on the needs out in the field. But I'm curious, what percentage of this $18 million is going for salaries and administration costs?
Mike, any idea of that?
1.85% is going for administrative costs. So that is to, you know, make sure the program runs effectively and has the administrative support it needs. I don't know the answer to how much would go to salaries. You have all these biologists around the state, and, you know, the agencies would be able to hire more biologists through this program to do the work that's needed to recover these species, the surveys and the restorations and releases. So I don't know the breakdown as far as, you know, how much will go to salary versus materials or projects, but, you know, that it'd be money well spent on salaries.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be spent. The money has to be spent to help species of greatest conservation need. And so, you know, any salary money would be dedicated to that purpose beyond the small amount for administration.
Yeah, I think 1.85% is pretty darn small when it comes to administration.
Yeah.
it seems like to me anyway. Again, the number 800-642-1234. If you want to join in, let's go to Mark in Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Hey, we have a trout stream here in Kewaunee County that the WDNR and the EPA has allowed a cheese company to dump 10 times the state limit of chlorides into it. And it's totally destroyed the ecosystem and the trout stream. I was wondering if any of these funds would be available to reverse some of the damage that WDNR and the EPA allows to happen.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mark, thanks for the question. Yes, they would be available. I can't speak to that specific situation since I don't know it, but restoring habitats, restoring streams, restoring fish populations is all within the purview of this program and this law. It's really focused on collaborative efforts, partnerships to restore these species and their habitats. But if that's a degraded habitat and it's put some species in need in that stream, then absolutely, that's the sort of project that this funding is available for.
Mark, thanks very much for calling. And so as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, okay, so this is for threatened, endangered species, but I can see that it has an impact on the outdoor recreation industry as a whole.
Yes, absolutely. That's a big driver. We have a lot of outdoor recreation organizations and companies like Bass Pro Shops that are actively supporting this bill. So the economic outdoor economy in Wisconsin is estimated to be almost $8 billion, supports 93,000 jobs. And so a lot of that is going to be wildlife related. From what I understand, wildlife are the number and outdoor recreation are the number one reason people visit Wisconsin. And wildlife is obviously a part of that. Hunting, fishing, wildlife watching. You know, if you're going to a state park, you know, generally part of the reason for going there is to see wildlife or watch for birds. So this is all supportive of this overall outdoor economy, which is huge. It's just in recent years that the surveys and studies have been done, and we all realized how big and impactful this outdoor economy and wildlife-based economy is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take another call. Michael in Spring Green, we go to you now. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi. This sounds like a great program, and thanks for covering it, Larry. One of the questions I have is habitat restoration seems to be such an important part of wildlife sustainability. And I was wondering what kind of funding and what kinds of programming through this bill would address that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. As much as the Wisconsin DNR wants to put towards habitat restoration, so as long as it's in support of recovering species of greatest conservation need, but the number one driver of species decline and loss is the loss and the fragmentation of habitat. So for most of these species, like the last caller was talking about, the degraded stream, you know, that's the problem. It's some degradation of habitat, some loss of habitat. So there can, you know, the money could be spent to actually release trout into the stream, but a lot of these streams need to be restored first. So, you know, it'd probably be hard to break down how much goes to specifically to habitat versus wildlife. They're kind of one and the same, but habitat conservation is the core of this bill.
Michael, thank you. Ray in Big Flats, we'll go to you now. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, appreciate the call.
My thing is this. The monarch butterflies are on the Endangered Species Act. And why are all the municipalities allowed to continue to mow all their habitats down? I'm in an area that's all agricultural, and the fields get sprayed, and there's a few milkweeds on the side, which I watch. And the township, they just come and mow them down. On my property, I put little barricades up, and they tore them down and mowed it anyway.
So there you go. Monarch butterflies probably are going to be helped by the endangered by this new act or this new bill.
Absolutely. In fact, they're a bit of a flagship species for the bill since they're so well known and popular, and their decline has been so apparent and obvious to so many Americans. You know, growing up, a lot of us, we would see monarchs all the time, and you don't see them that much anymore. So monarchs may be listed on the state endangered species, but they are not yet listed on the federal endangered species list, but they're being considered for listing. And, you know, it's a primary example of if you get in early and do some of this conservation work ahead of time, then they hopefully don't decline to the point where they need to be listed as endangered or threatened. And so with some of these projects like the mowing of monarch habitat, Wisconsin DNR could fund projects to help these landowners pay and, you know, cover the cost of monarch habitat and leaving some of that habitat. And there's a lot of efforts to maintain habitat in conservation corridors for monarch butterflies. So they would almost certainly receive quite a bit of funding for their conservation through this program.
For sure. And as long as we're talking about butterflies, one of the butterflies that comes to my mind is the Karner blue, which is a beautiful butterfly. And Wisconsin has more Karner blue butterflies than anywhere else in the world. And this act is going to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of the classic example, or one of the many classic examples. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources biologists, and that's an endangered species, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologists, they know what to do to recover a lot of these species. They just need resources to do it. So there's, you know, those butterflies need pine barrens, they need savannas, they need prairies, they need wild blue lupine, a plant. So funding could be used to create lupine habitat and to maintain and restore savanna and pine barren habitat in Wisconsin to support the recovery of that species.
Yeah, the act should certainly help both monarchs and Karner blues and a whole lot more. I think Wisconsin, from the bill, I think at least 400 at-risk species reside in Wisconsin. Is that right?
That is correct. There's over 400. The term in the bill is species of greatest conservation need. But you have, warblers, and you have butterflies, and
turtles,
stoneflies, vireos, a bird, caddisfly, different species of caddisflies, warblers, a whole range of species that need some help.
Absolutely. Ray, thanks again. Appreciate it. Michael in Wauwatosa will go to you now. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I just got a question and a comment about beavers. Considering their historic populations, what they used to be and what they are now, and the keystone role that they play in the environment as far as the plethora of species that their populations depend on beaver habitat, I'm wondering why that they haven't been placed on an endangered or threatened species list, and why they aren't protected, and why there seems like there's no place that there's a beaver sanctuary. I've been through the Schwamigan Nicolet, and you can see these ancient beaver dams, 30 feet high, and created this habitat now that's, there's no more beavers there, but they used to be there, and we all know that they play a keystone role. I'd like to see a beaver sanctuary in sanctuaries in the Schwamigan, Nicolet, and other places. Again, why aren't they protected?
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I love beavers. I can't specifically say why they're not protected in Wisconsin or nationally. I think nationally, the numbers, maybe they were heavily depleted by trapping, of course, and loss of habitat. And, you know, maybe at some point they, in our history, if the Endangered Species Act was around, they could have been listed. Now there's probably enough of them around where they're, you know, they don't quite qualify as endangered or threatened, although maybe there's areas where they do. I don't know. But, and, you know, I don't know the situation specifically in Wisconsin, but there are a lot of beaver restoration efforts. So the Wisconsin DNR does not have beavers, as best I can tell, listed as a species of conservation need in the state, but they could add them if they determine that the population needs the support at some point and the population has declined or is in trouble, and then they could invest money in it. But as a general matter, there is a lot of increased awareness of the important role beavers play in our ecosystems in mitigating climate change, because they create beaver ponds that keep water on the ground and longer and allow it to filter. And so they have a lot of really interesting benefits.
Kyle from Sheboygan had called but couldn't stay with us, but he's wondering if any portion of the funds will be allocated toward private landowners.
Yes. There are some specific allocations in the bill for private land programs. So this is on the federal side, where there is basically $150 million for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service partnership programs. Most of that money gets spent on private land, helping farmers, helping ranchers, other private landowners. And so these are programs like the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, Partners for Fish and Wildlife Program, Migratory Bird Joint Ventures, habitat conservation plans. So a whole range of tools that mostly benefit private landowners. So there's some specific money for that. And then each state, like the Wisconsin DNR, I'm sure they all have their own private land programs and they could invest money through this program. There's not a specific allocation to say this much has to go to private lands and this much not. But, you know, all of these states spend quite a bit of money working with private landowners. The Monarch was a good example, right? If there are farmers that need some assistance or some support to maintain some milkweed and some monarch habitat on their property, they could get funding through a program like this, Recover America's Wildlife Act.
And again, you can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you email to ideas@WPR.org. What do you think about this bill or questions you have about it? Ryan in Menominee Falls sent an email. He was wondering about kind of specific actions you see some of the funds at least being used for, like, are we going to pay people to plant trees, or are we going to incentivize farmers to phase out neonicotinoid pesticides, for example?
So if we look at the golden-winged warbler, Wisconsin has 20% of the world's population of this species. Beautiful bird. They actually need young forest habitat. So Wisconsin DNR could work with private landowners or the Forest Service or on state land to create some young forest habitat to support these golden-winged warblers. There's other strategies like protecting nests, protecting hatchlings. You can restore nesting sites. You can restore streams. You could create wildlife overpasses or underpasses to help wildlife move. That could be big game like elk, but it can also be turtles or salamanders that need to access a pond, some wetland habitat on the other side of a road. And when they cross the road, they get run over or at risk of getting run over. And then there's research and surveys that go into this. So just on that crossing example, you got to know where the turtles or the elk or moose cross the road, you know, what areas they use, and then you could concentrate your efforts there. So there's research and monitoring that goes into this to make sure, you know, that money is spent effectively. There's also some money available in here for conservation education and outreach and some, you know, wildlife associated recreation support, so people can engage with the wildlife and access it. So, you know, huge range of potential applications and projects and tools.
And he also wondered if this is all voluntary, or it sounds like there's some teeth to help protect wildlife. Will there be teeth to help protect the wildlife, or is it voluntary?
Well, the emphasis is certainly on voluntary and collaborative measures and projects, and, you know, working with partners to restore and recover wildlife in their habitat. I think, you know, states could use some of it in a more stringent manner if, you know, something needed to be done to recover this species and some action needed to be taken. You know, states could presumably use some of the money that way, but the vast majority and bulk of this money is going to be spent on collaborative voluntary efforts.
What I was thinking of one other species, you know, we've got way over 400 species that are endangered in the state. Did you mention mussels? Mussels were another area where I think about half our species are endangered, or at least at increased risk.
Yeah, that's right. And mussels play a huge role in keeping water clean and healthy and in water quality. And so, you know, they're a great example for this bill, because the funding, whether it is endangered species or non-endangered species, it tends to gravitate towards the charismatic wildlife and charismatic species, big species that we see, we like, we know them, maybe we hunt them, maybe we like watching them. But there's all these less charismatic species, lesser known species like mussels in rivers and streams and waters that we don't see that often necessarily, but are super important. And so this stream of funding through Recovering America's Wildlife Act would help restore those populations. And so it's why it's so important to try to pass it. This it's hopefully coming up for a vote here soon. There's a lot of interest in Congress and the Senate in passing it, and it has already passed the U.S. House of Representatives with support from some members of Congress in Wisconsin. And, you know, like Representative Ron Kind, Gwen Moore, Mark Pocan have been good supporters of this. And so hopefully in the Senate we'll get the support of Senator Baldwin and Senator Ron Johnson.
Yeah, I think they're in support of it. I think they both are in support of it. I'm hoping at least. Well, so what's the National Wildlife Federation? What's your role? Where do you see yourselves fitting, you know, within the structure of this bill?
Well, we are the bill's biggest supporters, I would say. So, you know, we have, I want to be sure to speak to two things. One, the broad partnership behind this bill in Wisconsin and nationally, and then the tribal aspect of the bill, which is super important, too. So, you know, we were an early champion of this bill, along with the Association of State Fish and Wildlife Agencies. But it has tremendous support from the hunting and fishing groups nationwide and state to state. But also the environmental community. And so one of the things I like most about this bill is it's bringing everybody in the wildlife conservation world together, and it's providing funding for the major players, the state agencies, the territories, but the tribes who do a ton of great conservation work, the federal agencies, so they can play their role. And so it's brought the environmental groups together, the hunting and fishing groups. In Wisconsin, you have everyone from the Isaac Walton League and the Safari Club to the Audubon Society, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. There's over 250 groups in Wisconsin that are on this letter of about 2,000 groups supporting this bill. So huge support in Wisconsin. And there are, I believe, 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin. And so the tribes were early supporters of this bill, too. So this is really important. But we need some money, too. You know, they only get about $5 to $6 million in grants every year from the federal government, spread among all tribes for all their wildlife conservation work. And there's over 500 tribes, federally recognized tribes in the country. And so tribes like the Menominee, you know, they do tremendous amount of work, and they're always working on black bear conservation and walleye conservation. And so the tribes said, well, what we need is across all of our tribes, about $100 million to help support all these efforts. They have these great tribal conservation programs all around the country. And so it dedicates some funding to help them with all their wildlife responsibilities as well.
Mm. Lee in Dodgeville has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Lee.
Hi, I have a question for your guest. I'm wondering what the short, brief answer to a habitat skeptic would be. Like, let's say the Kerner blue butterfly, you know, some people might be like, well, why should I care about this? What'd the butterfly do for me? And I have a kind of long-winded answer to that. And I was wondering if your guest had something maybe short and concise.
Why it's important to preserve habitat for nature, more or less here.
I can try to answer that, Lee. Thank you. I've never heard that term, habitat skeptic, but I kind of like it. It's interesting. You know, all these species, so there's a lot of us that just like wildlife, like species, like butterflies, so they have this intrinsic value, but they all have this important role in the ecosystem. And, you know, everything is interrelated and interacts, and so Kerner blues play a role. They're a pollinator, you know, so they're pollinating plants and pollinating lupines, and so helping those plants populate, and then those plants play an important role in each ecosystem where they are. You know, monarchs and milkweeds have that relationship. And, you know, mussels help with water quality, which benefits fish, which benefits anglers, and they support communities and businesses where they go fishing and where they buy their gear. So, you know, it's all interconnected at the wildlife and ecosystem level, but then it's all interconnected with people and communities too.
Well, I tell you what, this is a really great thing for Wisconsin and the nation, this act, this bill, and let's hope. When is it going to get up for passage?
We don't have a specific date yet, but we're hoping it comes up in the Senate this month, in this September work period, and if not this month, you know, certainly by the end of this Congress. But it already passed the House of Representatives, as I mentioned. And so we've got a ton of support in the Senate, and the leaders of the bill and the leaders of the Senate are just trying to iron out the final details in order to be able to bring it to a vote. But, you know, it's one of these rare bills that has this broad bipartisan support from Republicans and Democrats. So it's got a lot of momentum and interest, and
and it'll be signed.
Yeah, it would definitely be signed when it passes.
Mike, I learned a lot. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today to talk about the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. Appreciate it very much.
Larry, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Mike Leahy is Director of Wildlife Hunting and Fishing Policy at the National Wildlife Federation. Can't remember the figures on how many days we could go without water, or how long I could go without water. Not very long, apparently, because I'm at the bubbler or the water cooler pretty often. But there's a team of work of researchers who are out there who are looking at plants and some animals that can survive with almost no water at all. And we're going to talk about the research and the work that they're doing next. I'm Larry Mailer for the Ideas Network.